You just wiped us out. I don't think you need to torture us with your college anecdotes.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This Melrose Place. Today's episode is Season 1, Episode 6, Second Chances. And now, here are your hosts, Tara Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hello, Sarah.
Hello, Tara and Dave.
Hello, listeners.
Hello, listeners.
Are you ready to go back to cardio funk class?
Nope. Let's do it anyway.
Here we go. Starting with our B plot, a fancy dancer reignites Rhonda's ambitions. Every person in the complex is playing poker together. You know how you always only hang out with all of your neighbors who are somehow all your same age? Question mark. Yeah. At least they're indoors. It's not a pool party. Rhonda tries to buy more chips with tickets to a dance performance, and gay Matt lets her get away with it. Allison wins the hand. Sandy reveals that Jake was bluffing the whole time, and so was Allison. The party breaks up. Allison returns the tickets to Rhonda because she definitely does not want to go. And the next day, Rhonda nags gay Matt until he agrees to go with her because her friend Teresa is in the troupe. And he, at the show, had told Rhonda the dance puts him to sleep, but even he is enthralled by the performance, which to me looks a bit sloppy. I am no expert, but and obviously they had to just throw something together with like 6 days notice probably for the purpose of taping the show. But, you know, given Matt's reaction, it should have been a lot tighter than it was, I felt. What did you think?
Yeah, it did seem like, you know, college dance troupe spring performance choreographed by a sophomore and evident in that. So yeah, but the fuck do I know about dance?
Well, yeah, but Rhonda's also impressed. Her friend Teresa is the lead. Rhonda claims that she taught Teresa everything she knows, and afterwards Rhonda tries to leave without talking to Teresa, but Matt makes Rhonda bring him back so that he can meet her. And spending like a minute with Teresa makes it pretty clear that Rhonda's instincts were right, because she is a pretentious narcissist like immediately, I thought. this friendship, we'll see as through the plot line, kind of has its ebbs and flows with both of them being super defensive, but like, she does not make a great first impression.
No. Also, this actor is, even given what she's surrounded with, perhaps not up to the task of nuancing competition within female friendships, let's say. By which I mean, she is not good.
No. She then lays eyes on Matt, starts hitting on him. She wants to know if they would like to take her out for dinner. Rhonda tries to get out of it, saying that Matt has to get up early for work, but he overrules her. And over dinner, Rhonda and Teresa tell him the story of how they became friends. Teresa gives Rhonda all the credit for getting her where she is today, or as her parents would put it, the blame, since they would rather that Teresa had some kind of stable office job. And then we get to the specific reason that Rhonda was trying to avoid Teresa in clip two.
So, I guess you decided against the audition. I mean, I only left a dozen messages on your machine. Never got a return call.
Honey, I'm so sorry. It's been a killer week for me. My classes have been all about...
What audition?
Oh, there's a spot opening up in Teresa's dance company, and they're holding auditions in L.A. next week.
And I figured after what happened last time, you'd jump at a second chance.
Oh, Teresa, that's old news, girl. I've moved on.
Wait a second. What are you guys talking about? Maybe it's none of my business.
No, it's no secret. Nothing to be ashamed of. 5 years ago, Teresa and I were competing for the same spot in this dance company. And the day before the audition, I twisted my ankle and Teresa got it. And the rest, as they say, is history.
So, what do I tell the director of the company? Are you going to try out? You're going to spend the rest of your life teaching cardio, whatever it is.
Funk. And the answer is still no.
Carlos.
Or is it? The guitar has thoughts.
Yeah. Cardio, it is some pretty lame forgetting what the person does to try and big time them. Like, it's one syllable. You know what it is.
It's not, that's like a 0.5 degree burn. Teresa. Mm-hmm. And yeah, this whole plot line, I mean, I loved it because there was a lot of dancing and I didn't have to pay attention to things.
Yes, agree.
But, God.
Yeah.
When's Amanda coming? I'm so bored.
I know. She's not here yet. Apparently, harangues Rhonda all the way home about going to the audition. She thinks she makes more money teaching than Teresa does with the company. But when Matt asks if it's about the money, Rhonda pivots to basically saying she was once their town's most likely to succeed. But now Teresa has usurped her and Rhonda has given up her old dreams. And Matt thinks that Teresa showed up to give Rhonda a second chance. And Rhonda calls that mystical nonsense. And Matt rhetorically asks what she's got to lose. Did you want to talk a little bit about his outfit in this scene? Because it's in the visual aids, all of it.
Oh, my God. Which one was this?
This is just the huge T-shirt, huge blazer. It's Seinfeld sneakers.
Yeah, it's just once again, like, you know, we've seen the man in a swimsuit. It's not a matter of his fitness. It's just like the style at that time was like, let's put more fabric. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's really a lot. And then it's just so, like, nothing even has a shape.
Yeah.
Like, it's only because the blazer is, like, on the top half of him that I can even tell that it's a blazer. It's just this, like, cloud of fabric. It's bad.
Yeah. So, the next day, Teresa finds Rhonda at the Cardio Funk studio, where Rhonda says she's going to audition, and Teresa condescends to her about wasting her talents teaching aerobics. Rhonda shows Teresa what she's thinking of doing for the audition. Teresa likes it, shows her how she can improve on it, and Rhonda soon gets passive-aggressive about the fresh style she formerly taught Teresa, and even more passive-aggressive asking if Teresa thinks the company's actually going to stay afloat when so many others go under. Mm. Teresa can't promise her anything but says the company is the real thing, whatever that means, and iterates on what Rhonda did. They work on it for a while. Hooray for a montage, say my notes, because I agree.
Mine too.
At the end, Teresa thanks Rhonda for the warm-up. When talk turns to dinner later, Rhonda suggests pasta, and Teresa shades her for eating carbs. Hey, maybe you two are actually toxic for one another, because that's how it looks from here. Yikes.
Yeah. And, like, if you really haven't been in touch, except for this, I mean, I know mm-hmm. that's just, like, a TV thing, but maybe it's because you hate each other?
Mm-hmm. Well, proving me right on the toxic tip, when we next see Rhonda and Teresa, it's after dinner, and they're needling each other about how much cream sauce they can survive eating and who has a fast metabolism. It's very unhealthy. Rhonda breaks first and tells Teresa some shit in clip 3.
So I wouldn't take the chance if I were you. Right now, you're going to need all the edge you can get.
Give it a break, Teresa. I know what you're trying to do.
What? I'm helping out an old friend.
I think it's a little bit more than that. I think you're feeling guilty.
Guilty about what?
For taking the spot in the company that belonged to me.
You're crazy.
Am I?
Yes. They chose me out of a group of over 100 dancers. I would have made it whether you auditioned or not.
Well, we'll never know, will we?
God, Rhonda. You are the last person that I ever expected to turn out bitter and jealous.
Jealous? Of you?
Yes. It has been all over your face since the other night. No wonder you find it so hard keeping in touch. You can't stand to see me make it.
Well, you know, it's a little difficult when you keep rubbing my nose in the fact that I didn't.
Look, maybe I should just tell the director of the company that you decided not to audition.
Oh, no. I'm done with hiding. Get ready for some competition.
That electric guitar. This is like the idiot version of that episode of Glow that we talked about on Extra Hot Grade a couple of weeks ago. Like, both of you have an axe to grind. Both of you are defensive. You know, you're both in a creative field where not everyone is going to make it. Like, maybe try to support each other instead of whatever this is.
Yeah. Also, unless she arranged for you to twist your ankle, let it go.
Well, we'll get to that. Also in this scene, they're, as you could probably tell from the audio, they're like standing on the street and, you know, with extras walking around them. And at one point, this guy with a ponytail and a vest, because it's the 90s, walks past them way too close, like clearly was on a mission to make sure his face got on camera. And God bless you, Todd, whoever you are.
Oh,
you
yeah.
did it. Obviously, I made a GIF, which you can see in our visual aids.
Yeah, that was really fun. And it, like, my notes were like, what is that? Like, was this gorilla filming? Like, did they not tell actual passersby that this was happening? And then it was like, oh, the next Jamie Walters for good or ill.
Yeah. So the next day we see Matt is still taking Rhonda's class, which I thought was really sweet.
Me too.
He was kind of dismissive about it. And then there he is. Good for him.
And but he seems to have gotten slightly more competent.
He does. Yes. Only slightly, but yes.
Yeah.
But Rhonda is in a sour mood after her fight with Teresa the night before and runs the class so aggressively that Matt can tell something is bothering her. He's worried that she's stressed about an audition that she wouldn't even be attempting if not for his urging, but she says she's better than Cardio Funk. She had a lot of potential and never should have let it slip away. And he's like, you couldn't help breaking your foot. And she's like, right, my broken foot. Anyway. And much later, Matt finds Rhonda still rehearsing for her audition at the studio. And he is worried about her. And he sits so that we can see he's in sandals and socks. Look, I did it too. We all made mistakes. Seeing this, I was like, really felt tender toward Matt because that was the style at the time. It was a thing we were doing for some reason.
Yeah. I mean, there were a lot of things we were doing for some reason.
Yeah.
Like, you know, rayon jumpsuits, and they're all back.
Yeah.
And I resent it.
Mm-hmm. Agree. Also, Rhonda is rehearsing in like Doc Martens, which I mean, I guess if you're a hip hop dancer at that time, that's what you would wear, but it still seems weird. Anyway, you can see both of them in the visual aids, obviously. He tells her he's concerned she's putting too much stock in the audition, and she says she's just starting to feel the pressure, something her parents always put on her and her siblings to succeed. Apparently, Rhonda was the only one in her family who didn't get good grades and go on to an Ivy League school because she was going to make it on her talent. But when she did get her shot, she couldn't risk failing and instead just ditched the audition and told everyone it was because she broke her foot and not that she choked. And ever since, she's thought about why she would work so hard to achieve something only to let it slip away. Ooh, fear of failure. Very 90s. Very Gen X. To Matt's dumb question, she says, of course, Teresa doesn't know about any of this. Rhonda's parents pretended to understand, but they didn't. She doesn't think her father ever forgave her, and she never forgave herself either. Matt tells her she can't still carry this stuff around anymore, but she gets up and squeaks that Teresa got her spot and is living the life Rhonda was destined for, and now she can handle the pressure. So the next day, Matt goes with Rhonda to make sure she's really okay and not about to have some kind of a breakdown. But she's happy to be under her own pressure, not pressure from her parents, and Matt is rooting for her, but if she gets the job and goes traveling with the company, he will miss her. So then the director of the company calls her in. Matt tells her to knock him dead and not break a foot, which is what I would have said. I wouldn't, but it's funny that he doesn't. So then she auditions for like 500 years. No one minds. Teresa is also there watching, which at first I thought was inappropriate, but if she's dancing lead, I guess it would make sense that she would be there. I don't know.
Or there was some, like, whatever, brief scene that was cut, which, like, implied that she was boning the director, which I guess could be a thing.
Sure. True.
Anything to, you know, give this plot line some more depth, because it has none.
Indeed. When Rhonda finishes, Julian, the director, is complimentary and Teresa looks sick, but Teresa chases after Rhonda to take her turn being passive-aggressive in clip 4.
You were fantastic. So much better than I ever thought you'd be.
Oh, bless your heart.
Wow.
Okay, bitch. Like, way to put the cherry on the bitch sundae of this storyline.
Yeah.
Yow. But she adds that Rhonda will get a callback for sure, and Rhonda thanks her sincerely for pushing her. Rhonda's about to leave, but Teresa stops her to admit that the real reason she wanted Rhonda to audition was not because she wanted Rhonda to succeed, but so she could see Rhonda blow it and confirm that she didn't get her spot in the company by default. But that didn't happen. Rhonda was great, and Teresa will not be surprised if she makes it into the company. But Rhonda likes her life as it is and has different dreams now. She doesn't even want to get any feedback from anyone at the company because this was for her, and I guess they're not ready to write her out yet because this would have been very convenient, but they do not take the out. Oh, well.
No, they don't. Also, only on TV is this a thing where people are like, I did this for me. Like, fuck out of here.
Right.
Creative people don't do stuff to, like, prove to themselves that they can do it. They do it to get the job and the fucking money. Come on, show.
Well, she's not talking about it. Sorry, she's not done talking about it, but when she brings it up again, it's to cross over with our A-plot, which we will get to. On to the A-plot. Jake's nosy neighbors make him regret trying to pursue his education. Jake comes by Allison's place in the morning to see if she'll come by after work because he has a proposition, but he doesn't want to tell her what it is. And Allison, having broken up the poker party the night before by boring everyone with tales of her college cramming techniques. Yes, really. Jake says he was impressed, and Allison still doesn't know what he wants. Finally, he comes out with it. He didn't grow up with a great family. His mother had a bad boyfriend when Jake was in high school, so he left home before graduating. But it takes him approximately 500 years to say this and get to his point.
Oh, my God. And it's also so out of character for everything. Like, he refused to even tell Kelly anything about why he was bad for her and is written as the, like, strong, silent, bad boy type. He's like Dylan squared. And with a larger waist, might I add. But then he's like, you know, here's my sob story. I'm just a hobo riding the rails, whittling. Like, yeah, I mean, first of all, this is way out of character. Not that I should expect better, but like, get to the point.
Yeah. Which he finally does. He's going for his GED on Monday, and he would love Allison's help studying. So then we have to sit here. There's so much filler in this episode, you guys.
Oh, my God.
We sit while Allison reads out a whole, like, math story problem, when clearly it would be easier for Jake to answer if he were reading the question and possible answers himself. But, like, I realize this is TV, and that would not be interesting to watch, but none of this is interesting to watch. Like, a whole story, multiple story problem with multiple choice answers. Like, please, respect my time.
Yeah. I mean, if the show is doing that, like, first season Darren Star product thing where it's like, let's take an issue. Fine. Yes. Education is important. It's never too late, etc. Can't you just put it on one of Matt's message t-shirts and get to the, like, inter-apartment fucking? Amanda, please. Where are you?
Please. Jake tries to be cute instead of answering, saying that he's fried, but Allison states that he just needs more coffee, and Jake ends up getting or guessing the right answer. So I know Billy is new to living on his own, but surely even he understands that his building super and his super's wife don't give a shit if his roommate slept somewhere other than the apartment that she and Billy share. Except, whoops, Jane does care and is concerned that Allison never came home. Michael just thinks she picked someone up at Shooters and went home with him, as if it's Allison we're talking about. Come on now. Soon, Rhonda is also there getting the latest, and Sandy is hanging off the balcony wanting to know what everyone's out there discussing, and suddenly Jake's apartment door opens and there's Allison, and everyone is shocked that she apparently boned him. She laughs off their very wrong assumptions, but when they ask what did happen, she keeps Jake's confidence, which they all think confirms the conclusion they jumped to anyway. In her apartment, Allison takes aspirin while Billy natters on at her about how worried he was, and she continues refusing to tell him what she was doing at Jake's. When he witness leads about her not having gotten much sleep the previous night, she tells him to grow up. Has that ever worked? Such a TV thing to say.
I know.
Anyway,
grow up. Like, no. Tell us what happened.
Grow up definitely doesn't work this time, as Billy goes to Shooters to get Sandy to agree with him that Allison and Jake aren't right as a couple, which totally works as they reinforce each other's assumptions some more and then trade speculation, which we see Grant Show and Courtney Thorne Smith act out regarding how the spark between Jake and Allison was kindled in the first place. Sandy suggests that Allison went by with a VHS of 9.5 weeks and a claim that her VCR was broken. Past guys. While everyone else in the building was out together, Billy thinks that's ridiculous. His guess is that Allison went over on a big emergency and Jake dragged her into his bedroom because why? Clip 5.
I'm terrified of spiders.
Oh, Jake. They're harmless and they eat mosquitoes.
Folks, mark your calendars. This was the day Melrose tried to be funny, and it worked.
I legit
laughed out loud when I was watching this. Like, the saxophone.
Uh-huh.
And also, it's the Allisonist thing ever to be like, Jake, here are some facts about spiders. Like, oh, Nana, good for you. That was great.
I also don't think Grant Shaw was, like, a super great actor at this point in his career. I think he got better. but the way he like acts even worse in Billy's fantasy of like, I'm terrified of spiders, is like very funny.
And then almost bursts out laughing himself because teehee. And then the spider, they show you the spider and it's like basically someone just took a Sharpie. Doesn't even look like a spider exactly. It's like an ink blot. It's great. It's great. Well played, Melrose. Sincerely. Yep. I don't know why, but sure.
Yeah. But Sandy knows that Jake actually loves spiders. He carries them out when out of the apartment when any get in, which is a cute detail.
Aw.
But whatever it was, it happened. That much is definitely true. And Billy and Sandy agree, and neither of them cares at all that Jake and Allison are hooking up at all. Meanwhile, at Jake's place, Allison is saying she was bored by all of this trivia in high school, but now that she's revisiting it 8 years later, she finds it fascinating. He wants to know what she was interested in when she was in high school, which was fitting in since she was on the outside of all the cool cliques, which is extremely credible, by the way. She did get into a good college like she wanted, but now she wishes she had had more fun in high school and cared less, but people thought of her. Hey, sounds like book smarts in theaters now. Sorry, book smart, not book smarts. In high school, Jake was too busy living in the moment to care about the future, mostly because he didn't believe in one, but now he does, which is why he's taking the test. He doesn't know what it's leading to, but it can't hurt to have a diploma, which I guess a GED isn't technically, but whatever, close enough. Allison calls her own high school and college diplomas an illusion, and they laugh about the illusion that she's got her shit together. Neither of them wants anyone latching on to their weaknesses. She's glad she could help Jake, but also wants to know if he's bothered that everyone in the building thinks they're fucking. And he stares at her in total silence for like a year before asking if it bothers her. And of course, she instantly
says, "Who would be bothered
says,
by this? No yeah. one."
No, honestly, like she's instantly like, no, like obviously. Anyway, she thinks it's funny how people's imaginations run wild. And then they're back on school and the pointlessness of algebra, hardy har. The next day, Billy tries to get Allison to go to the beach with him, but she's still got to spend the weekend with Jake and still isn't going to tell Billy what they're doing. He tries to guilt her into disclosing by saying he doesn't know anything about her. And when that doesn't work, pouts that he can be as emotionally distant as the next guy. Okay, Billy, whatever.
Okay.
Try being
physically
distant. We look
forward to that. Please begin right away.
At the bar in a non-shooter's restaurant, it's a state capitals quiz. Clip six.
Washington.
Olympia.
Idaho.
Boise.
Alaska.
Juneau.
Very impressive.
Yeah, well, I cut timber in Washington. I trout fished in Idaho, and I spent 6 months working on the pipeline in a small town in Alaska, which, trust me, is not northern exposure.
Rather than have a section on basic life experience.
Oh, I'd be home free.
How old is he supposed to be?
Yeah, I assumed like maybe like mid-late 20s, like 27-ish.
He must be, because he's fit a lot of, you know... ice road trucker type show jobs into a short amount of time.
Indeed. Then Jake wants to bag Asian capital since he's never gone there, I guess. Plus, the test is tomorrow. If he doesn't know the material now, he never will. Allison guesses he wants to go home, but he has another idea, which is to take her out for a drive on his motorcycle. No, I will not say on his hog, because that's not happening. Of course, Allison has never ridden a motorcycle before. He reminds her that she always wanted to get a little crazy and then takes her to the same Mulholland Drive overlook that Dylan was always taking girls to. Like, I'm surprised they're not parked next to Dylan and Brenda in the Porsche right now.
Right?
Yeah. Anyway, gets flirty in clip seven.
No one's ever brought me up here before.
You've been going out with the wrong guys.
It's funny, isn't it?
What?
You and me? We never would have been friends in high school.
It's because nice girls like you never gave me the time of day.
Tough guys like you never asked.
If I had?
You would have thought I was boring.
Everyone thinks you are boring.
Thought?
She says in high school she was self-conscious around cute guys. Jake was self-conscious around girls who were smart and beautiful. Nice save. She's like, we would have made some pair. And he kind of too intensely says they're not in high school anymore. And then they kiss. And it's actually kind of sweet. Like, he's gotten better at kissing since he was kissing Kelly. I'll say that.
Oh, Jesus. Memories.
He doesn't get her nose.
Yeah, it's sort of cute.
Yeah,
I mean, they become a couple, like, I mean, obviously it's Melrose, so they become a couple, like, probably four different times, but that always sort of worked for me.
Mm-hmm.
Even when, and, like, I just totally forgot that this even happened, because it was the first season, and who cares? But, yeah, it's sort of cute.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't hate it either. I like that she's low drama, I mean, at this stage. Everyone is, kind of.
Like, yeah, unfortunately.
Relative to Sandy, she definitely is. Anyway, it's a break from all the boring, if nothing else. But it doesn't last, because in the very next scene, we're once again watching Billy nag Allison about her relationship with Jake and Allison not confessing anything. Only we've added her sounding actually guilty about keeping this extremely dull secret from Billy. She crabs that she's always getting told to be spontaneous, and then the first time she is, everyone's up her ass about what she's doing. Billy guesses from her tone that Jake dumped her, so finally she comes out with the GED bombshell. So much for Jake's confidence, I guess. And Billy, of course, goes way in the opposite direction, scoffing at how ridiculous he was ever to think that Allison and Jake were fooling around. And Allison has this whole speech about thinking you know what people are about based on their facades, but you don't. Billy makes a spectacularly dumb face, which I gift, because even in silence, it looks so stupid.
Anyway. Even for him, this is, like, notably dumb.
Yeah, the problem is, in my notes, I just have, like, BC dumb face gif in bold, so that when I do the visual aids later, I go back and find it, and, like, that is not helpful in the scene. Like,
yeah,
I had to watch the
say.
Whole scene to the one I was thinking of. Anyway, Allison got to know Jake, and she likes him. End of story. Outside, Sandy is needling Jake in a similar way, but quickly backs off and says if Allison and Jake are right for each other, it's fine, because Sandy just wants him to be happy, though based on personal experience, she doesn't think he should date where he sleeps. So then Jake confesses to Sandy about the GED and why he was too embarrassed to admit he's not a high school graduate and wants to change that, but Sandy is very nice about it. And when she asks why he didn't ask her to help him study, he flirts that he didn't need the distraction, and she's glad she distracts him. And then
Jesus.
Allison meets Jake outside his test, and he tells her he thinks he aced it, and then she makes it weird in Glib 8.
Listen, I've been thinking about last night. I think you and I got intimate on a personal level, which is wonderful, and maybe something neither of us does that easily. But it's not about sex, is it? It's about friendship. Being friends with a woman.
Do you regret what happened last night?
Are you kidding? I got to live out one of my high school fantasies.
Me too.
But it's just one of those things, right?
Yeah. It's just one of those things.
Come on. I'll buy you a beer.
Don't say you got intimate on a personal level. Gross.
Like, don't say intimate.
No.
Or moist or exquisite, but especially don't say intimate.
Yeah. So at Shooters, Rhonda, remember her, explains that French fries are one of the things she would have to give up if she became a professional modern dancer. Clip 9.
Now tell me, what could possibly be worth giving up French fries?
Broadway.
Another part where I laughed out loud. I just love that, like, Matt choked down a French fry to be like, Broadway. I just thought
yeah.
It was funny.
Therese is not the only one negging Rhonda this episode, it seems.
Mm.
And then when Allison and Jake come in, all of their building mates do a dumb graduation walk with mortarboards, badly humming Pomp and Circumstance and giving Jake a rolled up joke diploma. Sandy uses her last moments of the episode to try to undermine Allison in clip 10.
I knew there couldn't be anything going on between you and Jake. Of course not.
But he is a great kisser.
We get it.
Oh, I couldn't cut that music cue off. Sorry. It's too good.
I mean, It just keeps going. This was,
yeah, what, I know,
12 minutes of material.
Yeah, no, it's just episode? Sandy. Like, what's happening over it is just Sandy gawping at Allison in shock, like, which I also gift because it was very dumb. But yeah, a lot of filler in this one. And that's episode 6. Let's close it out. Thank you, Dave, with our MVP. I'm going to say Allison because she got hers and she probably actually did help Jake study.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
All right. That was easy. Least valuable player. Oh, God.
Teresa?
Yeah, she was kind of a coos. I agree with that, but I will just say Billy. Mind your own business. Yeah. Go get a fare.
And close your mouth.
Please.
If you're not eating or talking, close the mouth.
Close it. The SAMP 20181 challenge, 5 ways Allison shows she's really an 80-year-old woman in a 20-something body. Well, she is still bragging about her study techniques because she's so proud of them.
Yeah. Even in someone else's imagining of their sexy fantasy, she busts out the spider facts.
Yeah. She also, like, wishes she could revisit this material for real. Like, she kind of seems like she might want to take this GED class herself, like, just for practice.
Yeah. She gets out in front of the possibility of going past first base with Jake, which, like, okay, but no. Like, if there's an opportunity to, you know, get your GED, if you know what I mean, I think you should.
Oh, God, I hate to give a fifth thing after that because it's so good, but I will just say, no, I can't. That one counts for 2. It's too good. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Next time on Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210 edition. In the last gauntlet of Valentine's Day stuff, we're obliged to run with the gang. David gets weird about Camille. Donna gets embroiled in a newlywed faux caper with Ryan Seacrest before this interminable Gina has two dads and also no dads plotline comes to the ultimate end. And Noah gets killed because Dylan thinks he can handle a kidnapping money drop by himself. Okay, not really, but isn't that the likelier outcome for Dunderbolt and Shitefoot over here? Speaking of likely outcomes, you should prepare yourself for some dry heaving when you check out our visual aids for this and every other episode of Again With This. Find those at our website, againwiththis90210.com, and occasionally on our Twitter feed at AWT90210. And Again With This Patreon supporters get extra content, so if your pod mania is out of control, check out our Patreon page. That's patreon.com/againwiththis. I'm sexy arachnophobe Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Twitter at Tomato Nation. My co-host is sexy capitals quiz Tara Ariano, and she's on Twitter at Tara Ariano. And our producer is sexy closure audition David T. Cole. Talk to you next time.
Yay!